for Jesus' name. That's okay. Stand with me. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35, and I'm going into two places in Scripture. Leviticus 19, 35, and I'm going to go to 35 and 36, and then Job chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. When you have it, say amen. Job chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Leviticus 19, 35 and 36. I'm going to Leviticus first. Heard one amen and the baby said amen. Leviticus 19, 35 and 36 reads, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt." Amen.
Amen.
Job chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
Amen.
"But Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balance together." I'm going to use my topic today, struggling for balance, the struggle for balance. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your anointing will fall, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll help me to remove any flesh, Lord. No flesh, Father, all spirit. We want your word to be conveyed. I desire, Father, for us basically to touch and pierce our hearts the way that you desire for it to be pierced, Lord. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we begin to give you praise and glory, your blessings come down upon us, Father, and as you teach us and lead us and guide us in down your path of righteousness, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we do it in your will. We glorify you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say once again, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Everybody has a struggle with some type of balance, right? If you sit here and you say you don't, you probably should repent right now. Everybody in here struggles with some type of balance. When you think of balance, balance is in everything, right? Everything. I got a little heavy, Well, looking right, my weight was off balance. Why? I was eating too much Andes. Hey, Andes. And when I leave church, I go straight to Dutch Brothers. Right? Look, it's about facts. But anytime you start doing anything out of balance, you're going to start to see it. Amen. You start seeing it in that weight, right? I'm walking around, I'm taking pictures, and I'm like, oh, that don't look right. That don't look good, right? And then immediately you start doing what? You want to go on a diet. You want to fix it, right? But what happens is when you don't eat right, what happens is you gain the weight. And there's problems that come with weight sometimes for some people, right? You start having blood pressure issues. Because of lack of balance. You start having blood sugar issues because lack of balance, in essence, because basically you've gained weight. And when you gain weight, your blood sugar tends to go up, and then we have things like type 2 diabetes and so on and so forth, right? All basically attributed to balance when you really think about it. I just wasn't pushing away from me. Amen. Andy's was real good to me. Dutch Brothers is real good to me. Although I ain't gonna tell you because it's bad. It's so good, it's bad. You lose your balance. Amen. It's that good, ain't it, Sister Jen? Look. Y'all see her face? We've been talking about praising Jesus. We say Andy, Sister Jen's like, yep, man, right? No, it's good, but Andy's one little container of ice cream probably has about 1,200 calories.
Wow.
See where balance is off? So if you eat Andes, you get 1,200 calories there. As a man, you're supposed to have 2,300 to 2,500 calories a day, and I've got all of it in just one little Sunday, then something's wrong. Eventually, you're going to start to see it, right? You have balance issues when you keep pursuing money and keep pursuing prosperity. You keep pursuing the things outside of church and the things of God. Eventually, you'll have problems and issues with balance. But let's switch it up and switch gears a little bit. Sometimes we can have the giftings of God, and we don't have balance in using them. We can be used in the gift of miracles, but we're too busy working miracles that we don't know what scripture is. We can have the gift of prophecy, but instead of getting in the Bible and searching it to preach or to teach, we want to fly and we want to use our giftings and we lose balance. Amen. So how this even came about really is I was in Dallas, and while we were in Dallas, I was praying. I said, Lord, when I get back, I got to preach. But I forgot that Sister Stephanie had to finish our series. So I was thinking, oh man, I gotta get something together. Lord, give me something so when I get back, I could put the sermon together and I could preach on Wednesday. But Sister Stephanie went and God still didn't give me anything to teach on. So the week progresses and Wednesday goes by, Thursday comes up. We have our men's fellowship meeting. We do our 30 days, amen? Amen. So we do our 30 days, and I thought that the Lord was going to push me in the same direction for the next 30 days. I thought he was going to keep me on the same topic, but then he switches up. And when he switches up, he says, I want you to work on jesting. So I was like, okay. Not only did he tell me I want you to work on jesting, I had a dream, or not a dream, but he reminded me of a prayer meeting that we had. Where, remember that prayer meeting where he made us all lay down flat on the floor for jesting, right? And then he came through and then he corrects us, right? So what jesting is, it's jocose. It's basically crude humor, but it's tearing individuals down, or it crossing over from just being humor, and basically it becomes something that tears an individual down. There's a difference, right? So when you really look at what he's saying, is he's saying, here, I need you to have balance even in this area. It's okay to be funny, but it's not okay to where it becomes offensive. Right? It's balance. So then I get in the truck on Friday, and let me back up a little bit. I was talking to someone recently about the Bible, and what I realized is the individual, he depends more so on his gifting more so than he depends on reading and understanding the Word of God. So he's stronger in his gifting than he is in the Word of God, and so he don't have a balance. And so I started talking to Sister Jay about it on Friday, and we're driving down the street, and we're catering, and I said, hey, babe, the Lord is calling me to work on jesting again. And she stops, and she says, babe, you know what? If you really look at 30 days a year, really what God is trying to teach our church, it's balance. So that's the third time. So I said, okay, well, babe, I think I know what I'm supposed to teach on. But that wasn't enough. I guess I go downstairs. I start making Brooke's shirt. And the first thing that comes up in my thing is a t-shirt or an artwork that says balance. Balance. See, balance is one of those things that we struggle for. We struggle to have. We struggle to keep. We struggle to strive to have. Amen. And then sometimes it's not easy to come about, right? The Bible says in Leviticus 19:35, it says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment in meter, in weight, or in measure. Just balances. Just weights. Everybody say, just balance.
Just balance.
Just weights.
Just
weight. A just ephah.
A just
hin.
Shall we have.
That means that God wants you to have balance in everything and every aspect in your life. See, y'all not hearing me right now. Y'all dead right now. See, God wants you to have balance in everything in your life. You see, what happens is when somebody drinks, or if they have a problem with alcohol, it's because they lost their balance. It went from one drink to the next, and now they're chemically imbalanced. Their body is codependent on it. If you struggle with promiscuity, it's because you're so busy with walking in your flesh and pleasuring the flesh that you've lost your balance. And then when God tells you to shut this piece down on you, you don't know how to do it because you're out of balance. I hope I'm preaching to somebody right now. When you look at the scripture, he says, just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hand shall ye have. That word just comes from the Hebrew word tzedek. It means the right or natural, moral, or legally judgment, looking at things with the right equity so that you can prosper. Ooh, hallelujah. What does that mean? That means that if I have the proper balance in my life, God is going to prosper me. When I'm out of balance and I don't have the correct balance, then God uses turmoil to bring me back so he can. He says, the right natural, moral, or legal judgment, looking at things with the right equity so that you can prosper. So when there's a situation in your life that is off kilter, God gives us the just right balance to have it naturally, morally, the way that it's supposed to go. You got problems at your job, guess what? That means that the Lord allowed the problem so that he can bring you back into balance so you can work, because somewhere along the line, you're off kilter. Somebody coming against you and whatever it is that you set the task to be, that means that somewhere along the line, you are off kilter and God is using it to bring you back in balance. Y'all gonna get it though. Amen. When I first came into the church, right? How deep should I go into this? I'm gonna just tell it. All right, here we go. I came into church probably about my second or third year into church when I first got into this thing, right? My ex-pastor wanted a house. One of the sisters in the church had a dream. I believe it was you, Sister Annette. She had a dream, and in a dream, there was a hummingbird flying out of the, or buzzing around the window, and it whispered to my old pastor's wife saying, "Welcome home," right? Shortly after, we go look at a $2 million house in Conifer, Colorado. So we go up here, we're like, oh yeah, everybody's excited, it's fresh. I would have loved to move in it too, right? So he immediately says, "That's Sister Annette's dream coming to pass." But we said, okay, all right. So one of the other sisters comes, and really this story, when it's all said and done, is really about me, but I got to give you some context. Is that okay?
Yep.
So what happens is, one of the sisters says, "You can get $10,000 for your earnest deposit if 20 people give $500. So everybody start running. They start writing checks. $500. Some people were selling guns and all kind of stuff to get the $500, right? I went to the prayer closet. I went to, Jay and I, we wake up every day and we pray. And I say, "Lord, should we be giving him $500? And the Lord says, "You will do no such thing. Do not give him $500. So we go to a leadership training class that he was holding at the school, and while we're inside the class, we couldn't even get to the leadership stuff because we're still talking about this house, right? So he goes, "Did everybody get the $500 that you were supposed to get? Because I gotta give these people the earnest deposit." And I said this, I opened my mouth. Yeah, I did. I said, "The Lord told me don't give it to you, so I ain't gonna give it to you." So he stops and he looks at me like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, the Lord told me don't give it to you, so I'm not." It was a domino effect. Another brother says, "Yep, I'm not giving it to you either." And another brother stops and he says, "I agree with this brother. I'm not giving it to you either." And before you know it, he takes his work and he just throws it in the trash. And he says, "I might as well just stop doing what I'm doing right now." And then I looked at Brother Eric. He wasn't even my boy at the time. You know what I'm saying? Me and Brother, I had just met Brother Eric. We wasn't even cool like we are now. You know what I'm saying? I look back at Brother Eric. He looked at me just how he's looking right here. He had his hand in his mouth. Just same look. Right? He looked at me just like this. And he said, "Do you believe you were right?" I said, "I know I'm right because God told me. It ain't really about me being right. It's about me being obedient." He says, "Well, then you got to balance the word of God." Do you remember he said that? He says, "You've got to balance the word of God. Sometimes God is going to have other people do things that he's not going to require you to do." And so I said, "Okay, I received it," and I felt good. But see, this is the problem that I had. See, I didn't have any balance at that time. I would go home, and my wife would be like, "You don't know how to shut up. You always talking. You la, 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 la," right? And I'd be like, "Hey, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying what God told me." But realistically, I had to learn to shut my mouth because I didn't need to say it in that setting because it cost some other people who should have been given to give, even though it wasn't for me. I had to learn how to shut my mouth up because I had the improper balance. Because of that improper balance, my walk with God from that time, that point in time, was compromised. I was looked at as an Absalom because I didn't agree. I was looked at someone that caused division because I didn't always line up, but it all could have been avoided if I had the right balance and knew how to be quiet. Sometimes just being quiet and walking with that thing and just letting God do what he got to do is all you need to do. But see, the problem is when God starts showing you something, the first thing you want to do is tell somebody. First time God tells you something, you want to go prophesy and say something. It ain't every time that you get a word from God that somebody needs to hear it. Sometimes he's telling you so you can go pray about it because that's between that person and God and he's going to deal with it. But he might need somebody praying to have the extra strength so that they can get to that next level. It has to have balance even in the giftings of God. The Bible says in Psalms that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his pleasure. That's a cold passage of scripture right there. He's basically saying that if you think that you got it all together and that you don't have any issues, then you are an abomination. That's simple as put. You think that you got it together because you got a job and you make money and you got money in the bank, but basically you ain't lining up with the things of God and everything is peaceful. Guess what? You have a false balance. You can't do nothing without God. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not walking and I'm not moving without God. When it comes to them important decisions, and he wants access to your small decisions too. That's where we fail most of the time. It's that little stuff. Lord, should I go to the club? No, how many of y'all really pray? Y'all just go to the club. You didn't always pray. I see you back there raising your hand. You didn't always pray before you had a drink. You know, Lord, should I be taking a drink? No, why? Because you can't handle it. We don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Right? Here's even greater one. Lord, should I date this individual? No. No. But he cute. So I said no. I can't help it. You can't help it because your balance is off. If you can't walk in obedience to God, somewhere along the line, your balance is off. That means that flesh is greater than the will of God in your life, and I'm going to do what I want to do instead of what God would instruct me to do. It's a difference. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says in my scriptural reference, that my grief, speaking of Job. Job, now, I understand the more and more I read Job, why it's Jay's favorite scripture. Because there was a period of time where God took her through some things, and everybody and their mom wanted to have something to say about it. People having prayer meetings about it, discussions as to why and this and so on and so forth. But after reading Job, you get an understanding that sometimes God is going to take you through some things that he only understands, not men, right?
Amen.
Men ain't going to always understand it.
Amen.
But we want to. That's the problem. We nosy.
Yep.
Come on, right? Let's be honest. We nosy. We want to be in everybody else's business. We want to know what's going on. What they doing? Look, see, Brother Joshua. I'm preaching, right, Brother Josh? Want to know what Josh doing in church today? That ain't their business. They'll see it, though.
Right?
Let him keep coming. He walk up out of here and he get that anointing in him and he starts speaking over them demons that's been coming against him. They're going to know about it, right?
Come on.
The actions is going to speak. He going to be able to tell people about the things that was coming against him before and how the Lord gave him power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People nosy. They want to know. Right. They want to know something. Just go pray. Just pray. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to know it. But Job said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, speaking to his friends. He said, my calamity laid in the balances together, for now it would be heavier than the sea, than the sand of the sea, therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Job was saying that the weight of what I am going through right now, the weight of what you're taking me through, Lord, what you've stuck in the side of me is taking the very spirit up out of me. It's breaking me. It's breaking me. It's ripping me. How many of you have been going through a situation that's just been breaking you and just been ripping you? But God never intended for you to go through it to begin with. He says, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. They're like poison whereof I drink of my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves against me, Lord. It's too heavy for me to bear. I remember when I went on watch shortly after we went on watch. And the Lord consecrated us and he had us doing something different. He said, I don't want you to go to church and I want you to just stay at home and I want you to pray and I want your whole day to consist of me. I want you to read about me. I want you to study about me. I want you to teach each other Bible studies. It got to the point where we hadn't known so much about the Bible that we start doing and drawing our own crossword puzzles and word searches and all kind of stuff like that, because that's all we did when we were in a room, just sitting there, just talking about the things of God. There was no TV. There was nothing else. And he said, this is where I want you to be. As time progressed, our walks progressed, eventually God freed us up to go back in the church, and basically what ends up happening is you start losing that balance that you had in that room, because now you got the freedom to move and the freedom to do some of the things that you once done. You get it all back and you understand that, okay, I got my freedom and I don't want to go back there. In that process, you give up everything that God tells you to give up. You let this go. You let that go. You don't have anything. You go from having houses to basically being in someone else's house. You go from having your own vehicles to basically calling somebody and begging people to give you a ride to go somewhere. And basically, while you're going through it, sometimes you don't understand that God is doing it and there's a reason for it. You just don't understand it. I said, Lord, I don't want to do this no more. I have to be honest with him. I have to be real. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I said, because when I was in the world, it was easier for me. When I was in the world, I had my job. I had a career. I had things. It was easier for me. But now that I'm serving you, I have problems, Lord. Why are you taking me through what you are taking me through? And when you start looking backwards, you start understanding what Job was going through. You see, Job had everything too, but then the Lord allowed the devil to touch him. Here, I'm going to give you an explanation here in just a second. He says, doth the wild ass bray, meaning do they cry or complain when they have grass? Or loath the ox his fodder, the ox doesn't have issues when it has food. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are my sorrowful meat now. Now you see a paradigm switch in Job's thinking. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 1, it says, here is Job. Job is the man, amen? Here is Job, a man that escheweth evil, right? Bible says he escheweth evil. That means that he wasn't caught up in some of the stuff that we get caught up in. He didn't care about that. He loved his God, amen? The Bible says he was just and he was upright. Just and upright. And then the Bible says that he was perfect. So why are you testing something that's perfect? Anybody have an answer?
Because if it
will
stand.
I ain't it. He was perfect. He eschewed evil. That means he stood on the commandments. He stood on the word of God. He was perfect. He eschewed evil. But then the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant who's perfect? Have you considered my son who hates evil? Have you considered my son who's just and upright? Go ahead. You can attack him. And so I was reading the scripture and I was like, Lord, well, if Job was perfect and upright, and here he is now, he's in the scripture, right? He's in the verse, in verse chapter 6, he's saying, listen, I would rather just die than to go through what I'm going through, Lord. If you can speed this process up, if you can speed it up, just take me out. Just go ahead and kill me. I don't want to be here anymore. I would rather be dead than to have your hand against me. That's one thing that you need to catch. He says, Lord, I would rather just die than to have your hand against me. The first thing that you need to do or need to see is that the devil is not the source of all your problems. Ah, see. Y'all ain't clapping that. Yeah, the devil is not the source of all your problems. When you start having issues and you start going through some stuff, the Lord allowed the devil to attack you. And let me tell you why. See, the Lord does nothing but use the devil as a tool to correct his saint.
Y'all ain't catching that, right?
See, the Lord just uses the devil as a tool to get you where you need to be. So while you're going through everything that you're going through, guess what? That means that the Lord is working. That means you need to learn how to worship, and you need to get in your prayer closet, and you need to start asking God, what is it that you're trying to show me so that I don't have to go through it again? I can get it right the first time. So Lord, why are you allowing a perfect man to be attacked? Because he had everything together, right? He had it together, right? He was more just. This is the thing. This is what's crazy about it. He was more just and upright than us, and we have the Holy Ghost living inside of us, but they served an outdwelling God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He would talk and see it outside, but we got God living in us, and some of us won't even, I ain't even gonna go there, right? He had it together. He had it. I said, Lord, it's got to be something about this particular story, huh? I just knew Jay was going to shoot it out there. But the Lord told me while I was writing, putting my text together, he says, listen, he can be upright and he can be just and he can be perfect and still not have balance.
be a good person. You can be one that follows God. You can be all on point with everything in your life for the most part. But that still doesn't mean that you have balance. You see, balance comes when you seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, because then he can tell you and teach you how to be a base and how to be a pound. But see, when you're not seeking his face to get those answers, then somewhere along the line you will be off kilter and off balance, even though he loves you and you're his son or his daughter. Job's perfection is how sometimes, or why sometimes, God uses the devil as a tool. You see, he's perfect, he's upright, but have you considered him? He needs balance. Wow. See, there's this thing. Ah, that's a good man. That's a good woman. He does this for everybody. He's this, or she's that. And we look from the natural eye, and we begin to determine who's good and who's not. But the Bible says that there's none good but God. That's what we think what's good by how somebody presents something. If Sister J speaks something harsh and somebody else speaks something pleasant, even though they're saying the same thing, one is more effective than the other, or the other is more effective, we look at it and we say, it's not God, because our balance is off. Because you don't know that God can be stern just as well as he can be mild. He can turn over a table, and at the same time, he can raise the dead. He can do whatever it is that he wants to do. But see, when we have an improper balance, then we start making it what we want it to be. What I realize is most people serve God predicated on their feelings. This is what I feel. It ain't about what you feel. It's about what the Word of God says.
Amen.
What does the Word say?
Come on.
It's not about my personal feelings and how I feel about it. Amen. If the Word says that it's the Word, it's the Word. If the Lord says it, then he says it, it's still the word. But my word is never going to be equivalent to God's word. And my feelings is never going to be equivalent to the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Job said, oh, that my request would come to pass, and that God, you would grant me this one thing that I long for. I wish that it would please you, God, to crush me, that you would let me loose and cut me off. I'd rather it please you, Lord, to just cut me off so I don't have to go through this anymore. Now, mind you, Job went through some stuff, man. He lost 10 kids, lost all his wealth, lost all of it. His body was attacked. He had boils, and he got, you know, sick a little bit, right? Lord, just, I don't even want to do this no more. Guess why? Because I was perfect. I was upright. I showed evil. He even said, look, I won't even tell the secrets of God. You know that? He said, I won't even open my mouth and tell the secrets that you have. I wouldn't dare, Lord. But this is the thing that Job was struggling with, is he didn't have balance. Now, see, it's something about walking perfectly. You walk perfect, and you got it all together, and you just might. The problem is you've already messed up. It's because you thought you was perfect, and you walked in the pride of perfection. You start walking like you got it together. You start walking like you're better than everybody. You start walking like you got a better answer, not realizing that your poop stinks.
Right.
I don't know no poop that smell good. Right? But you lose your balance. And I just have to believe that there was something in Job's heart, because when you look at the words that he was saying, right, when you get to, and I'm almost done. I told my wife I was going to be short today. He's vacillating in verse 10, by basically saying, I would rather harden myself in sorrow, so let the Lord not spare me, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. I won't even take your words, Lord. I will not reveal it to anybody else. But this is what he says in the verses 11 and 12. He says, what is my strength? Ask yourself that right now. What is my strength? Go ahead, ask yourself that. What is it? What is your strength? Everybody's going to say God, but what is your strength? Right? Everybody has some kind of strength, and it ain't always God. Let's keep it a buck. I got some strength too. It ain't always God. Right? I have wrong balance. I got a dream killer over there.
She'll crush it. Bring it. That flesh get way up here and want to do this and this and that. And she be like, wrong. Dream over. You hear R.K. sound. She didn't kill your jewels. You're done. Not doing that. And then let her be right. She'll come back to you later down the line and be like, ain't you glad I stopped you? I'll be like, yo. Well, sometimes, though, I'll be right. Because there's a flip side to that. Sometimes she can be killing stuff that God really wants us to do. Look, she's buckling them lips. I'll be honest, our house is one of them. There we go. Puck her lips now. Our house is one of them. We don't need a house, let's keep renting. No, we done with the renting stuff. We finna figure this out, right? That's it. We gotta figure this out, because rent ain't going down, it's going up, right? We need to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the first and not the last. We need to get our stuff together. We gotta get a house. And it would just so happen it was the timing of God, because he brought the miracle to fruition. He made it work, right? Amen. That's what iron sharpens iron. That's how the relationship is supposed to be in the household. Now, I'm more so the one that kind of be like, she's more the one that's like this. I don't need nothing but an Air Max 90. Right. Me, I'll be like, I'm gonna get that right there. Well, that looks good too, right? Cop this, cop that. Drew, you want this here? I'm gonna give this to you, right? That's how it goes, man. But Job says, what is my strength that I should hope? Then he says, what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Right at this point in time, what you're taking me through, Lord, it don't even matter. What does my wife, what does my life mean? Period. I'd rather be poor than to have your hand against me, God. Then he goes on, he says, is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh brass? But this is the one right here, and I'm gonna have you stand. He says, it's not my help in me, and it's wisdom quite from me. Has it been driven? Lord, have you taken my wisdom from me? See, sometimes you can be so smart that the Lord will even take that from you, because everything you do looks stupid. Because you thought you were so smart. He's crying. He's like, Lord, even is my wisdom gone? I don't even have a way to get myself out of this situation. I don't even have a way to get me out of this predicament. Lord, I don't even know what to do. Am I smart enough to figure it out, or did you get rid of that too? Wow. Woo-hoo, that's cold. Yeah. But he was perfect, upright, as you and me, with no balance. Stand with me. So I'm about to tell y'all something. I'm gonna say something. Say a lot, but I'm gonna say this right here. Right? When and if, let me take if out. When God takes you through something, stop picking up the phone and calling everybody and their mama to tell them about it. That's right, baby. Stop picking up the phone and calling your friend. The Bible says that. Blessed is the man that findeth not, that seeketh not counsel from the ungodly. Stop picking up the phone and calling ungodly people to give you advice on things that's all spiritual that God is taking you through. And even greater, you need to be careful about who you even call in the church sometime if they don't understand or know what God is taking you through. It's
See, the thing about church folk is we become like doctors. We start trying to prescribe a medicine. We start trying to figure it out. But guess what? You don't have the medicine. You can't figure it out, but God can, because he initiated it. So you need to just sit back, and if anything, if you see your sister and your brother going through something, you need to just pray for them. You need to be praying. Stop sitting back looking at what everybody else is doing when you don't have balance in yourself. You see everybody else out of order, but you've lost the balance in realizing that you might be out of order. It's time to bring balance back into the church. It's time to see the entire picture, the bigger picture, which that bigger picture is God moving and God being able to shape and mold. When you look at that word in scripture, he says, shape and mold. Shape and mold. Potter's clay. Shape and mold. Shape and mold. That means the clay was perfect when it made it on there. He's just shaping and molding. What made you perfect? What made you perfect is when he died and says, I'm going to put my spirit upon this flesh, because he inhabited unperfect bodies. And that's what makes you perfect, because you walk around with perfection in you. So therefore, when you have something that's perfect in you, he's going to always touch and get rid of the stuff that's imperfect inside your system. He's going to always work to get it out. And when you start going through some stuff, don't run from it. Don't just embrace it. Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? Lord, help me to get out of my way. What is it you're trying to teach me? Lord, help me to get out of my way. Where is it you're trying to take me? Help me to get out of my way, because I just want to make it to heaven and see you in peace, Lord. I want to see your will come to pass in my life today. Stop talking to your friends. Stop talking to people. The biggest mistake that I made, and it caused me to slip up sometimes, and I have those walks with God, and I'll be mad. I went to him one day. I was in a prayer meeting, and Brother Eric said, you need to be honest and talk to God. So I said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I go on a walk, and I stroll through the park. And while I'm walking, I just begin to just be brutally honest with him. And I say, Lord, I'm mad that you took my son from me. Lord, I'm angry that you took my homes from me and I had to go through what I'm going through. Lord, I'm angry that it seems like my life is worse now than it was before, when you gave me a promise that I would have more and have so much that I wouldn't know what to do with it. I'm angry and I'm mad at you, Lord. Then he comes back and he says, go read the book of Malachi. So I studied the book of Malachi. And when I got to this scripture, then he showed me what another problem that I had was. He said, see, this is what you think. You think that I created you for me to serve you. But I created you to serve me.
Come on.
I didn't create you for you to just live and do what you want with your life. The moment you asked me for my spirit, I gave it to you, and that came with responsibility. That means that everything that you desire and that you aspire to have, even though you might pray and you want God to bless you in it, it doesn't mean that it's a proper cause to put God or put it before God. He says, I'm going to bless you. He says, but first we got to deal with something. He said, you dishonor me. I said, I started repenting, Lord, how do I dishonor you? Then I get a word or I get an interpretation, and he says, you dishonor me, my son, because you speak to me in a tone that's stout. You don't have any respect for me. I came to him like I was entitled. But he says, you don't have a respect for me. So I started repenting immediately. And I started making sure that I got my heart right. I started making sure when I came into his presence, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. And Lord, help me to not speak stout. Help me to speak respectable. Help me to speak to you honorably. But my overall biggest mistake was when I tried to call people and explain why God was taking me through what he was taking me through. See, that's what Job did. He tried to explain to his friends why he was going through what he was going through, but the truth is he didn't owe them no explanation. He didn't owe them anything. All he had to do was just keep walking. And if he felt the way that he felt, it was okay for him to vent to God, because ultimately it was going to be God that brought him out. That's why later in the scripture, the young wise man came up to him and rebuked him and said, you think you are all that, right? Where was you when God made the heavens and the earth? Where was you when he was at work? You were just a thought, but he was busy. I tell people, hey, God's taking me through this. And when they tell me I was dumb, you stupid for giving up your stuff. Now I'm in the prayer closet, Lord, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, why didn't you take me through? It could have been avoided. All you had to do was just shut up. Shh. Just be quiet. Endure like a hard soldier. When Paul was in prison, he didn't have nobody to pick up the phone and call. When Paul was in prison, all he could do was write. All he could do was pray. But see, I have to be encouraged by that word today, because Paul had his answer right. He had everything that he needed. Nobody understand that he was going to be killed. Nobody would understand that he was going to be a sacrifice. Nobody could understand that but God. So it had to be God in those dark and private hours that had to strengthen him for what he was going to face. Sometimes God is going to take you through some things that people won't understand. I'm not giving you a vela or permission to just say, hey, I'm not going to talk about nothing, because there are things that you need to talk about. Even that has to have balance too. There's some things you talk about, some things you just got to, Bible say, gird up your loins. You just got to walk. It is what it is. I can't change it. I can't make it better. But what I can do is try my best to be obedient to God. I can do that. What I can do is try to obtain the balance that I need to please him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Some of you may have been off kilter a little bit. You may have been in your own way. And you might need to just visit the altar today to just talk to God for a moment. Some of you might still be going through something right now, and nobody can completely understand what it is that you're really going through and the battles and the demons that you really fight. But the altar is open if you need to come up here and take it before God. Father, we ask, Lord, as we close service, that you'll meet those that need you where they're at. And Father, we just ask that you'll have your way in us. That you'll have your way in us. Through us. Continue to shape and mold us. Father, we live in a dying and a torn generation. Father, we live in the midst of it right now. And we know that you're going to return soon, Lord. It's more evident today now than ever that you're going to return. So, Lord, right now that you have our attention, help us, Father, to please you. Help us to do what thus saith the Lord. Help us to walk in ways that's going to suffice your kingdom. In Jesus' name.